what he's done. We'd like to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Hope you have a great Father's Day. And the Lord's soon coming back to get his people. And we want you to pray for us a few moments of time. We won't be before you for just a few moments, the Lord's will. Do want to say a few things that about what the Lord has done. He's still seeking and saving that which is lost. And the world seem like so many people turning their backs on him, and they don't want to hear what he's got to say. Don't want to hear the preached gospel, and they want to turn to something else that they think that will satisfy them. And it will not. There's nothing that's going to satisfy the human race except the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, brother. And that's the only thing that's going to help the human race is the Word of God. Now, we want to say, we're going to start reading. If you have your Bibles, turn with us over to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. A very simple scriptures and a very simple message we'll be preaching the Lord's will this morning while you pray for us, that we might be able to get the word out the way that God would have us to, the way he would have us to understand it. We've got to realize that we as human beings, God never has asked us what our opinion was. He's never nowhere in this book asked me what my opinion was. He's always telling me what his word is. And so there's a reason for that. So we're going to start reading, and that in the 17th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. Now we're going to start reading about the fifth verse, I believe. It says, let me start at the first verse. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taken Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? It is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the clouds which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Rise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be raised again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Now we want you to go back in these scriptures and talk a little bit about what taken place on this mountain when Jesus took James, Peter, and John, which was his brother, up on the mountain and by himself, and there he was transfigured. There's a reason for this to take place. We find back in the old Bible that when the cloud appeared to him, it was a dark cloud light. When it would appear, it would be darkness. In other words, it was a cloud of spoke of judgment. In other words, if you have it, when it appeared in the old Bible, like smoke and in the temple and all different places, it was like the cloud of judgment. But we find that this cloud was like the sun. It shined. It was what? The cloud of love that God was giving to the world. And so we find then that they had a conversation with him when they was transfigurated. There's Moses and Elias. We know who Moses and Elias was. They was the prophets of God back in the old Bible. We want to understand that Peter, I want you to notice how man's wisdom thinks. Sometimes we think the wrong way. Sometimes it may be good to us, but it's not so good to God. We need to realize this. What was the first thing that Peter said that he saw? He saw Moses and Elias, and he said, "Lord, is it not good that we build a tabernacle, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias?" What did God never address that? He never said anything about that, because that wasn't what it's about. It wasn't about the coming kingdom. The kingdom was there with them, talking to them. Jesus was that kingdom. And so therefore, we find then that he didn't have to address it, because God don't want us to glorify man in this world. Heaven's not here. It's in the other world. God's making a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there's no need to build tabernacles in the name of man on this universe. God didn't want it. And that's not where the praise is. That's not where the honor is. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what God was getting. And he never addressed that. He said, "Here he, him, the Son." See, when we start glorifying man, we're getting out of the will of God. We, as men, we don't do nothing without God. And everything that's accomplished, if we live for him and preach his gospel, or we live a Christian life, every member, every child of God has got a duty to do unto God, to carry the cross, to shine the light, and to walk right before the lost and dying world. But I'm not going to heaven because I preach the gospel. I'm going there because I've been saved by his grace. I repented and accept him as my Savior. And who deserves any praise in this land? Anything we accomplish, whether it's through preaching, going to church, testifying, or what it might be, it's not us that doeth him, Paul said, but he that dwelleth in me. That's who does the work. That's who, and that does the finished work, and that we can't take no praise for it. Because man wants to give man praise. And that's not what God wants. God said, if you seek the praise of man, you're not going to get none from me. That's exactly what he said in the Bible. But Wallace, I didn't get in this for praise. I got in this for the Lord. I got in this to stand firm on this. Brother, this word of God is the only thing that will help our society. The only thing that will help mankind. Now look, he told them. He didn't want them. He didn't address that. But they wasn't supposed to want to build another tabernacle for Moses and Elias, because Moses and Elias wasn't on this earth. They had done went on to be with God, and they was transfigured there. And God knew that Peter and them both disciples knew who they was, because they read it in the scripture. And I have you to know this morning that Jesus Christ come and fulfill the law. Period. The law is no more in effect. If we try to wrestle with the law, we try to walk by the law, we're walking out of the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we can't get saved by the law. We can't even get close to God by the law, because it's fulfilled. If anything's fulfilled, it's no more in existence. Don't mean nothing. It's done. God and the Father told the disciples there, he spoke out of heaven. When he was come down there in the cloud, he said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Amen. Not somebody else, not somebody that takes their God and that puts him on a pedestal and rides him down the street. Brother, listen, I don't have to do my God like that, because he's living within me. Amen. These false gods, they got running around over the earth. They're just false. That's what they are. They're not going to save nobody. And these people, they, first two commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now what he said? We got the Ten Commandments. You said, preacher, that's under law. Yes, sir. That was under the law. That was the way they should live. Therefore, he said in the book of Matthew, he said, he talked about the, he said, the love of the Lord thy God with all thy soul, strength of mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hangs all the law and the prophets. Right there. It all hung on those two, these two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, strength of mind. If we love the Lord with all our soul, strength, and mind, what are we going to do? We're not going to have no other gods before us. We're not going to worship nothing else. We're not going to sit and watch people do such things. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. In other words, what he said, he covered all of it. He said, have no other gods before you. Don't make a graven image that you will bow down to and worship. It's no good. Won't do the work. Because I've come. I'm the one that you worship. I'm the one that died for the sins of the world. And that's what man needs to understand. You take this Holy Bible, people question the Word of God. They question this Holy Bible here. That's right. Because, listen, I want you to understand what did Jesus say in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Brother, I'd be scared to death by some of these scholars that have taken the Bible and rewriting it, omitting things out of it and adding things in. God said if you take from the prophecy's book, your name will be taken out of the book of life. You won't have a chance of getting saved. Did you hear me? You say, preacher, everybody gets saved. That's right. But when you go far enough to want to change the Word of God and write a new book on it, you've overstepped your bounds and your heart is so hardened, it won't listen to God. And God turns you over to reprobated mind and not to believe what you want to. This is what's happening. The old authorized King James Version Bible, they question that. You know why they question it? Because it condemns sin and it tells them what they are. They don't want to hear it. False religion has deceiving people and take them to hell. There's going to be more religious people in hell than there are wicked people. You hear me? What we call wicked people. People don't believe in nothing. People that's atheists don't believe in God. They don't believe in the universe being created. They just don't believe it. They're in hell, but there are going to be more religious people in hell than they are that time. They're all unsaved. That's why they're going to hell. Because they're unsaved. Hell's real. Heaven's real. People say, well, you pray your way out. No, you can't. You think the rich man, when he went to hell, all the money he had here on earth, don't you think he left it behind and somebody could have prayed him out, but it didn't pray him out. He's still in hell. They didn't pray him out with all the money he's got. You know what that deal is? People said, I'll pray you out of hell, out of purgatory, whatever you want to call it. And he said, I'll give me enough money. I'll pray you out. Brother, that's just a gimmick that Satan has to get people money and get them to believe something that's not true. That's all it is. It's false teaching. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care how educated they are. They're educated fools, what they are. Look, this Bible here is the word of truth above everything. The Bible says he that tooth the prophecy of this book, 22nd chapter book of Revelation, you go there, read it. It says the plagues of this book shall be added unto him. Now we get all these little books they got on the market, and these new Bibles they got out had been writing and rewriting and all this to compromise with the sin of man. Brother, they're going to hell with it because God has had nothing to do with it. Education of man is nothing when it comes to God. And that's the hardest thing we can do, we have to do as human beings, especially preachers. Preachers that God called to preach the gospel. You know what we have to do? People misunderstand. They don't understand what it is. for a man to stand and God called him to preach the gospel and to understand what it really is. Because, listen, we've got to deny what we think we know and our understanding and fully depend upon him. We can't understand it without his help. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask of me, and I'll give it to you. Man's wisdom can't understand that book, the Holy Bible. They can understand the words and pronounce the words, but they get it so lopsided, they get it so out of focus, it's taking people to hell because they're done it for what? What is taking these false prophets to lead misleading people and these false churches that set up? And I can name you a bunch of them. What do you think leading them? It's Satan leading them. What do you think their motive is? It's not to get people close to God. It's not even get them to repentance. It's get their pocket and billfold full of money. That's all it is. Roman Catholic religion, falsehood. Jehovah's Witness, falsehood. Presbyterian, falsehood. Presbyterian Association, falsehood. Because they deny what God said. What about the Catholics? It's falsehood. Because they honor what? Pope. They worship that Pope. God said, have no other gods before you. Amen. They better ditch it before Jesus comes back and gets saved, or they'll be in hell with him. You say, how do you know the Pope ain't saved? Because I know if he's saved, he wouldn't be misleading millions of people. He'd be telling the truth, and he'd step down and wouldn't be called Holy Father. Jehovah's Witness don't believe the gospel has been preached yet, and it won't be preached till Jesus comes back. That's falsehood. Call it like it is, Chester. We might as well take a firm stand and stand up for what God has said in his book. If we can't stand for God, then we can't stand for nothing. And if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. You know that game. But I stand for that book. You say, how do you know that book's real? Let me tell you, give you a little history right quick. Now, I'm shortly coming to close. But I want you to notice, when God was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he come down and he proved his son, he told them there, the disciples, says, this is my beloved son. It was a cloud of peace and loveness, and showed his love unto the human race. Different places in the book of Matthew said, this is my beloved son. Second chapter of the book of Peter, the second book of Peter, he says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God said that. He said it when the day he was baptized. John went and took him down there and baptized him. He didn't sprinkle him on the head. He took him down and brought him forward, the Bible says. If you bring in somebody forward, you got to take them backwards and bring them up. That's what the Bible says. They brought him forward. And what happened then? There's a voice come out of heaven, said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Brother, listen, we've got enough of it in the Bible that there's no other God except Jesus Christ. No other way to get saved except through Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and believing in your heart. If you don't do that, hell's going to be your home. And it's sad to say, but you got to tell people the truth. Bible says the truth sets free. A lie keeps you in bondage. How do I know this book is real? Well, I call it 1611 model. You go all the way back, centuries. God wrote it, moved men on the Holy Ghost back in the old Bible days. He moved men full of the Holy Ghost back in Jerusalem. You go read it. And they wrote it down on scrolls. The Word of God, he gave it to them. And they wrote it down as the Holy Ghost moved upon them. They recorded this Bible, word for word, what God said. God moved, the Holy Ghost was guiding them, and they wrote it down. And it's been the book for centuries and centuries. 70 years ago, it was the only Bible that mankind would have. Society didn't want nothing else. Preachers wouldn't get a hold of nothing else. The old authorized King James Version. Since 70 years ago, come on down to the day, they pick up everything on the market, everything's rewrote and redone, and it don't say nothing but simple. People are going to hell. Compromise with man what they want to do. They take hell out of some of these new Bibles. How do I know this is real? Don't you think God's got a power? If he's got the power to give it and record it by men, and the Holy Ghost moved upon them in the old times, that they recorded it, what he said, don't you think he's got enough power and authority to get it to us today in the form that we can read it and understand it? The gospel we preach that. Now, this is the only book that condemns sin. The only book that condemns sin and upholds righteousness. It don't give us another God. It don't tell us God didn't create man. God created all things. Without him, there's nothing created. Amen. Scholars, when they got ready to translate it into English and into the language that we could understand it, what happened? There was 32 scholars, Bible scholars, got together. And every one of them, every time it was wrote down from the scrolls, according to the history, they write it down. And every scholar would read it and make sure it was correct by the scrolls. And it'd go down for 32 of them. They would approve it because they know what was on the scrolls. They said, this is right. And they got it all printed in the form of a book we could have. And that's why we've got the King James Version Bible. Not because of what Satan did, because of what God did, worked through man to get it to us. Amen. Now he says, hold it dear to your heart. Don't let it slip away. Hold on to it, because I'm coming back someday. Amen. And he said, this word that I speak, it shall never pass away. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. If you go to heaven, you're going for that. If you're not going for that, you ain't got no making to heaven. Amen. You say, preacher, that's pretty plain. Well, I want you to understand that. That's pretty plain. You've got to be born again. Good living and righteous works will not get nobody into heaven. It won't do it. God said you're not saved by works, but by grace. Are you saved? And these leaders that's misleading the people, telling them if they'll do this thing, if they'll be faithful to this and give them their money, that's all they want. God's going to bless you. God ain't going to bless you. Satan's going to wait on you in hell. He's leaping with joy. Satan is leaping up and down with joy. He's getting so many coming in. False preacher, false teacher. It's not everything that says it's the church that's the church of God. Only ones that the church of God is those that go with this book. And he said the only way we can worship him is in spirit and in truth. What is truth? That's it, Bible. What is spirit? It's the Holy Ghost from heaven. That's the only way we can worship him. Take those two out, Chester. They're not no worship of God. Look how Satan got the world. Man, he's got them messed up. I was reading the other day about the millennial people. I didn't pronounce that right, but you know what I mean. The young generation, in other words, what they call millennial. It says they're turning from the real church. that's got the Word of God in it and got the Spirit in it, they're turning to the false churches, turning away. And some of them not even wanting to belong to a church at all. That's according to the reading. You see where our people's headed? Satan has got them by the droves, taking them down the wrong road. You and I is the only ones that's going to show them the right way. God depended on us. He didn't depend on Brother Neil to call me to preach what I want to preach. He said, you preach my word. Follow me. You say, preacher, they won't like you. Tough. I'm still going to stand for the word. I'm going to tell them when they ask me a question what the word says about it. The word's against it, I'm against it. The word says it's sin, it's sin. You can't make righteousness out of it. You hear me? If we don't go with this book, we'll go to what Satan has. You're going to go with something. If you get out of this book, you're going to get into where Satan is. Because he meant for us all to go with the same word. Why has he meant so much problem? Because man's got his ideals in it. Huh? That's what the problem is. There's some good people that's let their education mess them up when it comes to God's word. Because they think they understand it all, and a fellow like me don't understand nothing. Huh? I don't claim to know anything, James. I just know what he gives me, what he tells me, what he says in his word. I don't claim to know nothing without him. He said, he that thinks he knows something, he knows nothing. We need to realize what he's saying in the book. Everything points to him. He's the one that gets the glory. He's the one that I'm going to give honor to. He's the one that I'm going to praise on this earth for. Why? Because he died for me. He took my sins upon himself and suffered death that I could be set free. And why would I want to listen to some false man take my soul down to hell? You say, preacher, they don't know no better. You know why they don't know no better? Because they won't go to where the gospel's been preached. They won't listen to the word of God. We all have a choice. God has a way somehow. He's everyone to have a right to the tree of life. Somehow God's going to make it available to every individual. And they're going to know that God is the Savior of this world. He is the truth. And it's up to them to accept it. Amen. God ain't going to make us. God never made you, Chester. He never made me. He just come to me.
Amen.
He come to me. And when he did, his word got in my heart. The Holy Ghost touched my soul. And it made it clear. He showed me what I really was. I was lost and undone on my way to hell. That's what he showed me. He said, now if you want help, if you want to get on another road, you've got to trust me and repent and believe in me. It was up to me, up to you. We had a choice. He didn't make us, but he presented it. And when we make the right choices, he said, the very minute you believe in your heart, in me, I'll come in. On our own free will. It's up to us. He's not going to get you by the hair of the head and shake you. He's just going to come to you with a contrite spirit and a broken heart. That's what you've got to have. And he'll come to you with a conviction of the heart, knowing what you need and what you are. If I never understood what I was, how could I get saved?
Amen.
Huh? If some man of God hadn't stood to preach the gospel to you, how would you know you need to be saved? We didn't. But some true man of God stood up and preached the truth to us. It pierced our heart. It showed us what we didn't want to see. I thought I was a pretty good joke. You thought you was pretty good too. But God told us we wasn't. He showed us we was nothing. And we needed help. And he showed us that father and mother can't help us in this. I'm the only one that can help you. I'm the one that you need to talk to. He said there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved except the name Jesus. These fellows are having these platforms and having these images set up, and they're bowing down to them. And some camouflaging with Jesus. There are a lot of, every one of them is camouflaging their doctrine with the name Jesus. Listen now. They'll bow down. And the first words out of their mouth, oh, Hail Mary. They cut it off right there. They might as well not pray. God's not going to listen. Because they put what? They put an image before him. You say, what about Mary? She was a good woman. She was a virgin. She was the mother of Christ. But she's not to be worshipped. In no way. She died. That was it. So if I go through Mary, I can't get to Christ. He said, I am the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth and life. You've got to come through the door. I'm here. Amen. Have no other gods before you. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. I can't bow to the image of St. Peter and think God's going to bless. He won't. Huh? I can't get up and tell people the gospel's not been preached yet. I've been preaching a lie. God has nothing to do with that. It's this book, friends, that we've got to stick with. And it says what it says to one, it says it all. He said, what I say to one, I say to all. He don't say one thing to Brother Neil and another thing to Brother James or Brother Tab. He says the same to all of us. We all follow the same word. We all live the same life. And if we get out of line, he's going to get a hold of us. If you're his. If you've been saved, he said, my sheep, my children, I love. And they transgress, I'm going to chastise them. If you're not his, you'll just keep going. People need to wake up. True salvation is with this. A man got up and told me that if my dad died, he died in 59. If some man would have come and told me, I could pray him into heaven. I'd have lied to him and told him, take his flight and move on down the road. Because I knew better. You can't get out of heaven or out of hell when you die. When you die, it's over. Eternity set in and you make no more choices. This is what people have got to realize. We make our choices here in time. That's why he gave us time. That's why he made time. Because he said, time's coming to the end. I'm soon going to come back. When you see all these things come to pass, the end is near, even at the door. This is what we need to be telling our people. Christ is coming back. He said, prepare to meet thy God. If you're not prepared when he comes, you're not going to get prepared. You're not going to get saved when you see him. Because the trumpet sounds and he'll appear and the graves will bust open. That's it, folks. The word of God is still the word of God. It's still the word of truth. It will be no matter what society says or does. And you're looking at a preacher. As long as I live, I will never give in to what society wants. I will never agree with their doctrine. Never. And I'll never promote ungodliness. I will stand against it no matter if it's my family. I'll tell them they're wrong. If I didn't do it, I wouldn't be fit for heaven. Do you know that? If I didn't do it for everybody the same, if I wasn't the same with everybody, I wouldn't be fit to go to heaven. Huh? It's my family, same word. Your family, the same word. It says, stay out of sin to me, my family, and it says to your family. Stay out of sin. Don't eat it. Don't take of it. Shun the appearance of it. I'm coming to close. I hope I've stirred up your mind. Jesus showed his love. God spoke from heaven. There's no misunderstanding. Now, Peter said, Lord, said the scribe says, Elias must come back before the kingdom. What did Jesus say? He said Elias had already come, if you're happy. In other words, who was Elias coming? Who did he come in? People looking for Elias to come. He's already come. John the Baptist come preaching out of the wilderness. This was Elias, the Bible says. If you read the scriptures, John the Baptist, forerunner of Christ. What was he doing? He was getting established religion, truth again. That's what he was doing, coming to Christ. He baptized. It was John. It was Elias in John the Baptist. If you read the scriptures there in the book of Matthew where I read, he talked about John the Baptist. The scribes and Pharisees was looking for Elias himself. And that's what brought it to their mind, Moses and Elijah. And they said, the Pharisees said, scribes, yeah. But Jesus said he's already come, John the Baptist, preparing the way. There's not nothing else to do, Chester. We've got it all. We've got to preach gospel. We've got the power of God. And we've got what? Him awaiting till the Father says, go get him, and he's coming to get us. Amen. Heaven's going to be on the other side, not here. We've got to put up with this here until he calls us out. And as long as I live, you're looking at one, as I said. I'm going to stand firm on that word. I'm not budging. I wouldn't budge for my wife. As much as I love her and as much as I care for her, she gets off the word, it ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell her. That's the only thing standing on. That's the only solid foundation we got, folks. If we get on anything else, it's no foundation.
That's right. Amen.
We can't stand. We'll mar up. And lost men and women die and go to hell. Why? Because of what we're doing. He said, shine a light to them. You're the light of the world. When they see us refuse this stuff, they're going to think in their mind, what's wrong with that fellow? What's wrong with them people? They don't take of this. They don't do what I do. It's going to stick in their mind. And believe me, they're going to think about it. And if you keep doing that and showing them the love of Christ, they'll want to know, come to hear the gospel. When they come to hear it, then God can speak to their soul.
Amen.
See, that's a lie. The way we live is how we're presented in this world. If I wishy-washy with the word, you're going to know me as being wishy-washy. You're going to know me as not standing firm, huh? If I slide on this and slide on that. Oh, I don't want to hurt this. I don't want to hurt that. Look, if you sin against the Bible, go against the word of God, you can call it what you want to. I'll rebuke you. Period. I do it with my own kids. Believe me. And sometimes they don't like it. Even my grandkids don't like it. That's tough. I still tell them, this is how it is. This is the way it is. God is not pleased with corruption. Into it up to your eyeballs. Your body can't see out. He's better than that. And you and I is the ones that show to the world that he's better than what they are. I don't get exalted. I'm just proud I'm a child of God. I don't exalt myself. And I don't feel better than anybody else, but I'm really ready to stand. If it hits me right in the face, you're wrong. Folks, that's what God's expecting out of you and I. Let's get a song. Look, friends, this holy word, you're not going to get nothing from heaven. any more than what we got. That's all we're going to get right here. This is God's mind. God speaking to you and I. This is it. When Jesus comes back, he's not bringing any mercy. He's bringing judgment. They can preach all they want to, that he's going to set up this and set up that. But he tells me that I'm going to rise to meet him in the air forevermore, be with the Lord. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You say, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Get to liking it, because you go to heaven, you're going to be with me. And it's going to be right there with us. I'm going. Ain't enough devil in hell to keep me out, Chester. How about you this morning? You need to come to an altar. If you don't know the Lord, you can get to know him if you do. And if you transgressed and drifted away from him, come back to him. Be alive. Be alive to your family. Be alive to your friends. Show them what God really is. That he's the Savior of the world. He said, you must be born again. That's it. Not baptized into it. You're born into it. Thank the Lord. We thank you for your prayers, your kind attention. Hope you come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Go pray and come praying. Invite someone to come with you. Remember your pastor. That God will keep him safe and give him a safe journey and get back to you safe. We're thankful. Thank the Lord for him. He's a good friend of ours, good preaching brother. And we appreciate every time he gives us a call. I said, Brother Neil, I need you to go to Riverside. I said, I'm happy to go. That's where we need to be. We're not to be dreading anything or this, that, and another, or wish we had his position. That ain't the way it is, folks. And just be thankful what God gives you to do and do it with joy. Amen. Anyway, where's Brother Jerry at? Brother Jerry.